Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
One o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. James producing the show today. Drew might be back tomorrow, to be determined. If not, we'll have him back on Monday. I'll let Drew share what he wants to share about his week.
I think it's been a long one for Drew.
I'll let him share.
I hope.
If he wants to.
I hope he's back tomorrow, but if not, we'll talk to Drew on Monday.
That's right. That's right. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Thursday. We'll get to Professor Tapp here in about 10 minutes or so. New lesson after having Professor Weber last Friday.
What did he teach?
His was about like Christmas decorations, like early is too early and how you go about doing it and how and all that. That was his theme last week.
Probably go get the Christmas tree purchased next week, but we still get a fresh tree every year.
Well, with your hernia surgery, you're not lifting the tree, are you?
Well, so the place
you can't.
No, I can't. I'm not supposed to and I won't. So the place we go to will put the tree on top of the car and all that stuff. So I don't have to worry about that. Like, but I'm going to have to get some
Griswold over here. Cody's got the kids in the car. You got the tree on the roof. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, that's almost exactly what's going on. I don't chop it out myself, but other than that, but that means I'm going to need somebody to meet me at the house to put my tree inside the house. So you want to bring my tree inside or like, what's up?
Oh, do you not know a neighbor that's not well enough that could
One
help you?
One of my neighbors is currently serving overseas. Member of the reserves.
Okay.
So he's the one I know the best. He's not active.
You don't like it. Your other neighbors don't like you.
Well, somebody just moved across the street, and
perfect.
I
perfect, great
I
opportunity.
Go, all the way up the cul-de-sac.
When are you doing the tree?
Probably next Monday or Tuesday.
Why don't you on Friday or Saturday? You go knock on the door. No. The new neighbor. You go bring him a bottle of wine. Welcome to the neighborhood. Start the connection, and then when you come in, be like, "Hey, by the way." That's
a wild way to introduce yourself to a neighbor.
Hey, you introduce
him.
You don't ask him then. You welcome to the neighborhood. You give him a bottle of wine, and then you come back in 4 or 5 days when you need some help, and you say, "Hey, would you mind? As you can see, I've got this gigantic Christmas tree on the roof of my vehicle."
Somebody says, "Cody, do you prefer a real or fake tree?" That's what I'm saying. I get a real tree every year.
What does that cost?
It varies pretty wildly.
Like, I mean, truly, as someone that doesn't celebrate Christmas, I have no idea.
Like, just a good quality.
We talking $100? We talking
a little more probably for like 50? A good quality one. Yeah, maybe around there.
Every year, you spend $150 on a new tree.
I do.
What's the cost of like a synthetic one?
$600 probably for like a nice one.
For 20 years?
Well, I mean, if you get 20 years out of it, sure. I don't know. Huh. I've only ever had a real tree. I know at some point I'll probably
make the
transition.
Extra credit for your students.
I really like, who's got a bad grade in my class would like to drag a tree up? I feel like that's academic fraud. I don't know how that works. Are you allowed to just give extra credit for whatever you want?
I don't know, Professor. Anyway, we'll get to Professor Tapp, and you'll have to let us know what the lesson is. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball. Yesterday we were discussing, Taylor Ward was traded from the Angels to the Orioles and kind of a interesting trade, but kind of bizarre though, considering the return that the
it still doesn't make any sense.
Angels got and everything, and what the Orioles had to give up to pull that trade off. But Major League Baseball is trying to figure out future media rights deals and the direction they're going to go. And this is not resolved just because of these updates. And we'll have to probably wait till after 2028. But MLB announced that NBC is going to carry Sunday Night Baseball and the first round of the playoffs. And then remember, that was an ESPN package before. Now Netflix is going to carry one of the premier opening day games, and then the Field of Dreams game, which got announced up in Dyersville, Iowa again, which is going to be the Phillies and the Twins. I still would have loved the Royals at some point to get a chance to play in that. And then the Home Run Derby will only be on Netflix. this year and moving forward. ESPN will have out-of-market and select in-market games. They took over and bought the MLB.TV package. You guys know if you have that, especially if you, it's more if you want to watch, of course, your out-of-market games. It's not gonna, that's not going to do any good if you want to watch the Royals. You still do FanDuel or I guess Spectrum or whatever you're currently doing. But if you want to watch, I don't know, you're just a you like watching Padres baseball, MLB.TV, yeah. It won't change. It's just going to go through the ESPN umbrella now.
So just as long as their app works okay, which I have not used the ESPN app a ton, and obviously they're trying to get a lot of subscribers over there. I will say, Gold, if you bought the ESPN app, and you're like, oh, I'm going to sign up and I'm going to get the stuff for the ESPN programming because you did it, let's say, when they were fighting with YouTube. The sticker shock of the price tag you're going to get about 6 months from now with a rate increase going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want you to remember that this is no different than paying for MLB TV. So just as long as you understand that the cost is either more or the same, then it doesn't fundamentally change anything. My problem here is I didn't really care about what they did with any of the TV rights. I don't care that a playoff game might be on Netflix. That's how football is. I don't care if the World Series is going to not be on Fox. And although I do think that that should be on network TV, I think it's really important that
over the air and everything.
If it's on Peacock, that it's also over the air for your championship series. They didn't fix the problem. Baseball is a regional sport. How do I watch my regional games the most convenient way without blackout restrictions? If you told me I could sign up for the ESPN app and watch every Royals game, Gold, and stop caring about this, I'm in. Sold. Mm-hmm. In blackouts is the only thing we care about when it comes to TV rights for baseball. I'm dead serious. It might be the only thing any fans care about.
I've told
for TV
you
TV rights for baseball is ending blackouts, and I want equal money between the teams.
As much as we've discussed the TV stuff for years, I will say that the way it is currently set up for the Royals, you know, the access part of it, like we've said, maybe you don't like the price. Maybe you don't like that it's, what, $20, $19.99 a month for FanDuel TV. But the actual access to it, it is just as accessible as any other baseball team in the country. We've said this. If you want to watch the Royals, you can watch the Royals. You may not like
the cost,
but like they are just as accessible as anybody else. They also teased or toyed, I should say, with a couple of the over the air games last year on KCTV 5, I think it was, KCTV 5, right? They did a couple of those. So it's not the access locally. If you want to watch the Royals, you can watch the Royals. But what you're saying is you want down the road to where basically there's a contract with ESPN and they've got, let's say it's ESPN, and there's just a bunch of games available under one entire package for all of baseball, no matter where you're at. Yeah.
Yeah, just let me watch. I can watch. It's so stupid. I can buy the app, and I can watch 29 Major League teams games.
I love MLB.TV.
And 28 because they're playing the Royals.
True. MLB.TV is awesome. I love it. Now, I'll admit, I love it also because it comes through my cell phone provider, so I'm not, quote-unquote, paying separate for it. So. Yeah. You know, I know in my subscription or my cell phone plan, I get that every year for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's been awesome. And I feel like I know more about baseball league wise than I ever would, because like in terms of, hey, knowing what pitcher's doing this, because you can easily watch it. So I do like the MLB.TV. I hope ESPN doesn't get rid of the whole T-Mobile thing they got going on, by the way.
I do kind of hope that the complications that are coming with this is in, we have some games on Netflix, some games on Sunday night, some games over the air, some this. Is going to lead to what I really want, which is a universal TV package negotiated by Major League Baseball that equally distributes the proceeds of the TV packages amongst the teams. Because right now you have teams that make four times probably what the Royals make in their current TV deals. You know, I don't know if it's four is too high. It's triple, I don't think is crazy. And so when you start looking at it, that is still just leading to more of the disparity. And so maybe as Major League Baseball starts to negotiate these things more, Gold, maybe we're closer to Major League Baseball negotiating all of it and these things maybe being equaled out rather than, you know, the Dodgers make $150 million on their TV rights deal and the Royals make 50, you know? And they have, so like, think about the math on this pretty simply. Like when we talk about the differences between these, the Dodgers, let's call it 150 for the Dodgers for their TV right deal and 50 for the Royals. On that alone, Gold, that's the difference between the Royals' payroll and the Dodgers' payroll, just the TV deal. Boom, done. I solved it. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's maybe $50 million, give or take, but, like, you're telling me right now that if we could equal these things out at $75 million, well, then these things will come a little bit closer. There'll be more competitive balance. As far as, like, the NBC and Netflix and all that stuff, fine. I'll watch them just like I watched Sunday Night Baseball before, but it didn't really.
Yeah, if there's something, you know, significant about that particular game, you know, otherwise it's going to just be its own thing. People are asking about if they have FanDuel for the Royals, are there any blackouts for Apple or anything else? Yeah, I mean, when, like last year when the Royals were on Friday Night Baseball on Apple, you could not watch the game on FanDuel. You had to have Apple TV. That's
you only
still
get blacked out for the one-offs.
Yeah. MLB.TV, that's not really changing. If you're trying, you're not going to be able to watch Royals games through MLB.TV. You can watch every other team if you're in Kansas City, though, basically, right, with MLB.TV. Yeah. That's the setup for that. A lot of people on the text line, and I didn't push back because I've never bought one.
Oh, apparently the 600 is too high.
People are saying you're crazy for thinking you got to spend $600 for a fake tree.
I went to Lowe's website, and it appears...
The size, there's a
difference. You can get them for like $100, but they're pretty dinky. The standard, decent-looking artificial tree at like a regular big box store looks to be between more like $200 to $400, not $600.
See, then
I must have been looking at a bougie area.
Isn't that the move then? Spend $250 and use that for 10 years?
Even if it's 5 years, I get my money's worth. I like the real tree.
I think the pine needle stuff, isn't that like, you have pets and stuff, isn't that a problem?
No, it's never been a problem.
You don't step on the pine needles accidentally or anything?
No, that's what there's a skirt for. If you take care of a tree, it doesn't really start shedding until the season's over anyway. Yeah. I like having a real tree. I don't have, like, I understand that it is more cost efficient to get a fake tree and just do that. I've decided to make this choice.
How long do you leave the tree before you drag it to the curb or take it to one of those drop-off sites?
Oh, the week in between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay, so you don't leave it in there for a while.
I don't leave it as a fire hazard through the end of February as it slowly turns into kindling. No. I usually go outside, I take a chainsaw to it, I cut it into a bunch of pieces, and I shove it in my trash can.
Yeah, someone said, if you want a good quality fake tree, Cody, you're not spending less than $400.
See? This person agrees with me. Everyone else in the text line been buying Charlie Brown versions of artificial trees. I don't want a crappy one I choose a good real tree.
How far away is the place you go to? I'm fascinated by all this.
15, 20 minutes?
You drive 20 minutes, and then... Mm-hmm. You get to pick the tree that they're chopping down for you?
That they're already chopped down. You're just choosing amongst
aren't there places
that,
yes, you can actually go and you're like, hey, this is the one I want.
Then
have Paul Bunyan knock the tree down for you.
Then either you can saw it down or they can saw it down for you. In this case,
wouldn't it be fun to cut your own tree down? I feel like that'd be fun.
I've cut enough trees down in my life. I've probably cut down 50 trees in my life, I would venture a guess, between all those years going to Colorado. How many times we had to cut trees down around the...
Have you ever driven to Colorado, gotten a tree, and brought it all the way back?
No, that's illegal, I think, technically.
Oh, really?
I don't think you're supposed to be bringing trees out of...
Well, not from a preserved national forest. I'm saying, like, from a...
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
You can't...
That's what I was told as a
kid. Wait, you're
anyway.
Not allowed to transport trees across... That's an interstate... There's literally a law, interstate... You can't have a tree go one state
because
to the next?
They're not going to be able to prove you took it from a national forest, so they probably just don't want you taking them at all.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you should be able to cut down a tree from a national forest. I'm just saying
as a kid too.
You can't, if it's your property, you can't take a tree from Colorado and take it back to Missouri.
Like on our property in Colorado, it's about 16 acres.
Okay.
I don't think now we'll chop trees down and turn them into fire or whatever. I don't think I'm supposed to just chop those down and take them home.
Maybe you're chopping them down anyway.
I mean, I guess, but
I'm saying around Christmas time, if you drove with the family this weekend to Colorado, got yourself a tree that's on your property, you can't take that back.
Okay. I mean, maybe you can. As a kid.
I don't know. I'm asking these questions.
I don't know the interstate tree transfer rules, admittedly. That'll be the next lesson I do.
Please let me know. I mean, it just seems crazy to me. I know why you can't transport certain things across state lines. A tree?
Someone says, yes, you can.
It's a tree.
$5.
Why can't you drive a tree from one state to the next? This seems crazy. They drive the damn mayor's Christmas tree all the way from, like, Vermont all the way to Kansas City.
I understand, but I feel
on a semi-truck.
It's conservation stuff that I don't understand, and I'm not going to try.
Someone says a bug pet issue. So it's like the same as boats, right? Some boats you can't. Okay, I got you.
Oh, it appears you can in Colorado with a permit.
Get the permit.
Tree. Driving it.
Invasive species. Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
It claims... I imagine you'd get pulled over.
I understand if it's...
I think you'd get pulled over. I went all the way down with 70 with a tree on my roof. My ass get pulled over.
If it's the same concept as like boats, right? Like there's certain... You can't have certain things in certain lakes, et cetera. Okay. All right.
I mean, here's a whole... All right, let's get importing to... Importing firewood into Colorado. I don't need to know about this.
See, you learn something every day. Let's get to Professor Tapp.
Speaking of...
Welcome to the classroom. Whether it's cooking lessons, singing lessons, or how to commit a heist, this guy wants to teach you what he knows.
Well, what he thinks, he knows. It's not Cody to you. It's Professor Tapp.
If I had known what we were going to get into, I'd have made this all about trees today.
I was fascinated. I don't have any experience with this.
So, you want to come with me when I go get my real tree? So you can see what it's like? I usually get a fresh
tree. If you were actually cutting down the tree, then I would say yes.
Man. Okay. Well, sorry. Next year. Next year, I'll find a place I can cut down the tree. So at least we can go there. Of course, today, I'm going to teach you about what I went through last week, which is hernias. Because I got asked a million questions last week
about hernias.
And I'm ready.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I need to teach you about it. First off, somebody said, hey man, that seems crazy. You're not like a professional athlete. How the hell did you get a hernia? 1 in 4 men in the United States will have a hernia in their lifetime. So you got a 25% chance no matter what.
There's also like different kinds.
There are different kinds. Yeah. We'll learn about those as well.
1 in 4 men are going to get a hernia.
25% of all men have a chance of getting a hernia.
But our show has 3 people on it, and James is filling in, so there's 4. So you were the one. Thank you. We're good.
James, show's covered. Have a hernia before?
Show's covered. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yep. There's 4 of us that have been involved in the show this week or so. So perfect. Thank you for taking one for the team, Cody.
Hernias also do not get smaller. They can only get bigger or stay the same size. So like if I get like mine started as a penny sized.
But you waited a decade.
And then I waited a decade and it slowly got bigger over time. Sometimes they don't get bigger. It just depends. And obviously can be caused a lot of different ways. They look like a small bulge underneath the skin. And typically what's happening there is you say, what am I seeing? It's either your intestines or fat. Or muscle tissue poking through like the muscle wall.
I'm still fascinated, Professor. You didn't ever just wake up one morning and say, you know what? Let's get rid of this damn thing.
Well, I did eventually.
10 years later.
Well, it took a little while, I guess, for me to get around to it. You know, this is part of the reason I made this today's lesson was, I think, just in general, I think we can all admit this, men are statistically less likely to take care of themselves.
For sure. Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
Like I clearly fall into that camp and have decided to do something about it. So what are you going to do about it? Now I'm going to tell you about the surgery. So you know what you're in for. You're like, man, I got this hernia. I've been sending this thing for 10 years.
What
the hell
do
I
got? What was the prep like? Did you have to?
No dietary prep of all other than don't eat the night before.
Okay.
After midnight, I was not allowed any food or drink. Standard anesthesia. They said, are you allergic to anything? Are you good? Do you have any issues? Do you got any metal in your body? They said, no.
Do you?
They told me where they were going to stick. They gave me two IVs. One in each hand.
Excuse me?
Were they going to stick the medicine? They gave me two IVs, one as a backup, right? So they gave you one as a backup in case one failed. So I got one on each hand, the dot's still there. And then they gave me pain nerve blockers. So you wouldn't feel
it. Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but like all that stuff happens quick.
And then they do the old, like as they were wheeling you, like did you do the old count from 10 down and then you were out by 2?
I got there 2 hours before the surgery. I checked in, took about 30 minutes, and then they took me back, just me. My wife sat in the waiting room for a little bit. And then they went through all the normal stuff. Took your blood pressure, got the IVs in, ran a quick blood test, said the anesthesiologist would be back. Wife came back in the room. We waited for the anesthesiologist. He said, here's the things I'm going to do. You got any allergies? He was there. They were there for 10 minutes, maybe less. I don't know, but 5 minutes. Said, okay. They're like, we'll come back when it's time to give you the medicine. Doctor was early in my case. Said he'd finished up a surgery faster, I guess. So he showed up.
Yeah, dinner that night. Wanted to get going
like,
early. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions before? They said, no. He's like, all right, this guy's going to give you the medicine. And then I was asleep.
You don't even remember, like, it was, you don't remember, like, from.
It was, like, within 30 seconds. Even do got tired fast.
They didn't even do a, how are you feeling? And you were just.
Nope. They just said, okay, he's giving you the medicine now. You should, you know, we'll talk to you in a little bit. And then that was essentially it. What they do is they either slide a piece of, like, it's mostly they do, like, what they call surgical mesh.
You have mesh in you now.
Yes.
Okay.
So all of the my part of my intestine and part of like fatty tissue sticking out, pushing out through the skin, through the muscle wall. So they go in there and they put a piece of mesh and sew it in there so that it can't put out anymore. Put all your parts back in place. Put your intestines back in your body. And then mesh it up so that you're good to go.
Now this mesh, it's just permanent?
Yeah, it lives in your body forever. My father-in-law actually had two hernias.
And that the mesh is just good for the rest of your life? They don't have to do anything?
It's supposed to be good forever or for a long time, they said. And I mean, they made it sound like sometimes people have a reoccurrence. But no.
A friend of mine used to do sales at medical sales, and he sold mesh. Now, I don't know if it was for this exact reason. His whole thing, Cody, is he would go to doctor's offices and stuff, and he would sell the mesh, I think, like what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, really interesting.
Yeah.
He wanted them to buy their particular type of mesh, huh?
Yep.
So they find the weak spot, they identify it, they reinforce it with either usually a small patch or some sort of surgical mesh. They make sure there's no more bleeding, and then they close you up and call it a day. Mine was the robot, 3 incisions, so they could go through the muscle lining.
Oh, so now you're okay with robots. Before you were freaked out, but it's fine when it's helping you.
I don't like it when it's that MIT one doing backflips off of the walls, but yeah, it is operated by a human. Now you want to know about the types of hernias?
Sure.
Mine was epigastric, which is right below the breastbone and above the belly button. It is not the most common of hernias. It's not uncommon. There's obviously a congenital version where you're just born with it. Inguinal, which is on kind of that lower belly button area, is the most common. Or hiatal, which is in that like upper area closer to mine. They all kind of land in a very similar way. Most people get them somewhere between like the breastbone and down to the groin. Somewhere
at least yours wasn't in the groin area. That feels like, well, you wouldn't have waited 10 years, let's be real.
That's 100% accurate.
You wouldn't have waited 10 years if it was there. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. So, I'm glad you got it fixed.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're done. And you feel normal now for the most part?
Yeah. So there's still like a little tenderness, but for the most part, other than being tired, like
you're still tired.
Well, you know, they say that's really common. Your body's doing all this work to try to like fix the stuff they
Someone
cut into.
Says, is it Bob Evans mesh? Basically, they drywall the hole inside of you.
It is kind of like those drywall patches in a lot of ways. If anyone's ever used those, the one with the little tape you put in there.
That's basically what they did.
The spackle over the top.
Yep. Yeah. It's good enough.
Pretty much.
Good enough.
Nailed it. Problem solved. So, you know, you don't have to wait 10 years like me. There's a few other type of hernias, but those are the big ones.
All right. Well, now we know, man. Now we know. A lot of people texting.
I've had one currently been fixed twice. I hope to never get another one again. Well, they say after 6 weeks, live life the way you lived before. Lift the same things, do the same stuff. You shouldn't have to worry about it. You should be all squared away. I'm going to try not to get a new hernia.
Yeah, do not do that.
For the rest of my...
That'd be nice. Yeah, and don't wait. And if you get one again, don't wait 10 years to fix it.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know what it is. Sometimes you just kind of get used to it.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then earlier today, Danen Hughes joined us, former Chiefs wide receiver. We asked him about the predictable nature of the offense. What about the comments from Chris Jones as well? That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. Tune in for the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day, starting at 11:30 right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here,
by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, Chiefs back at practice again today. Isaiah Pacheco was a full participant yesterday. He will be that again today. As far as some guys that are limited, Kingsley Sumatia, concussion-worthy ankle, going to practice in some form. So good news on Kingsley, actually, that he's going to be out at practice. He was not yesterday. What was limited yesterday, I'm sorry. So to see Xavier Worthy in him both at practice is a good sign.
Yeah, stacking a couple of practices. You know, he's got a concussion, so he can really only be limited until he can be cleared, and you can only clear concussion protocol by Saturday if you'd had it in the game before. So he's doing exactly what you would expect. Next up on What's Trending tonight at T-Mobile right here in Kansas City, K-State will take on Mississippi State, currently a 2.5-point underdog. Against the Bulldogs, if they are winners, they will take on most likely Nebraska on Friday night at T-Mobile Center, who's a 7.5-point favorite over their opponent as well. So we'll see. But K-State tonight, and of course right here on your home for Wildcats, 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah, if you're just a big college hoops fan, you want to take in two games for with one ticket tonight and tomorrow. Pretty cool opportunity. You haven't got a ton of pub, I feel like, going into this one. But I always thought it was kind of cool if you can get some cheap tickets to go in and just watch some college basketball. Opportunity to do that tonight and tomorrow, especially if you happen to live in the downtown area. Elsewhere on what's trending, Thursday night football tonight, Buffalo Bills at Houston. The Bills are 5.5, 6-point favorites, depending on where you look. No CJ Stroud. It will be Davis Mills versus Josh Allen tonight.
CJ Stroud is expected to make the next start 10 days from now. That's really not uncommon by NFL teams. Wait the 10 days. Plus, I'll be honest with you, you're a Bills fan tonight if you're a Chiefs fan.
You should be.
You don't want any of these teams floating around the 7-8-9 line winning games. You want them losing games.
Yeah.
You can take care of the Texans yourself by playing them and beating them, but you still get the point.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are around the 7th line. It's you mean the seed line? Yeah, they're going to be a wild card team at minimum.
Yes.
So, I mean, and you're not going to win the tiebreaker. The Texans, you get them later on, knock them down, get them to 5-6, and hopefully you win Sunday, and then you're not worrying at least about the Texans. All right, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joined us. He will be part of the broadcast Sunday at noon as the Chiefs take on the Colts right here on 96.5 The Fan. We started our conversation talking about what's at stake on Sunday and how last week felt like the biggest game. This one feels like the season.
Well, it seems like every game going forward, as long as we win, is the game of the season, because that's the position that we've put ourselves in. Very unfamiliar territory to think about that in this circumstance. You're talking about week 12 of the season. We're not talking about kind of hybrid must wins because we want to stay in the hunt for the number one seed or have the AFC championship run through GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. We're talking about playoff implications, and like based on how the schedules of every team in the AFC that's equal or above us right now, I feel like we have to be at least 6-1,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5-2 could win us the last spot in the playoff race, depending on who those two losses are against and how things unfold with teams ahead of us. I mean, ultimately, we're in a position where outside of losing to us, we want the Indianapolis Colts to win out. Outside of losing to us, we want the Denver Broncos to go ahead and win out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're in a position where if we lose a game, although I hate to say it because I have some very, very, very obnoxious Dallas Cowboy fans as family, that would be the game that if you said, Danan, we have to lose one of these upcoming games, which one would it be? It would likely be the Dallas Cowboys game. And like to think about it from that perspective, like that's tough to digest as a Chiefs fan. I mean, we've been spoiled in a good way, a very good way for this stretch of times since 2018, since Patrick took over. But it's really tough to digest that. I mean, that's kind of where it is right now. And every game matters.
How much do you buy into the discussion that we've had on this show and a lot of people have been having about particularly the Broncos game, but I think it's a season long thing, which is the predictable nature perhaps of the offense, maybe even so much the defense, hearing Chris Jones talk about what the Broncos knew. Was that just, hey, look, the Broncos are paid to look at film as well and come up with schemes as well that they can attack? Or do you truly think that there's too many things that are predictable right now for Kansas City?
I totally disagree with that whole take from Chris Jones. I don't like it on multiple levels. He is definitely open to his opinion. He has garnered enough respect and enough equity to be able to say what he wants. He'll be on the Ring of Honor, likely in the Hall of Fame when his career is up. I just don't like when we're losing games that we won last year. We were 12-0, including the playoffs, in one-score games. We're 0-5 in those same one-score games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Did you say anything last year about teams knowing where we were or what we were doing? No, because it was convenient not to, because we were winning those games. And let's also face it, there is some predictability for every team. Heck, I'm sitting up in the booth with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler on the sideline, and I'm predicting stuff. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and win. When Chris Jones moves from the defensive tackle out to defensive end, don't you know what he's going to do? Do you think he's going to, like, do you think he's going to just stand there at the defensive end position and not rush the quarterback? And the only reason that he's really moving out there is because he wants the one-on-one matchup against that offensive tackle, usually the right tackle? Like, that's predictable. So don't like, when you're maneuvering in this window and you're maneuvering within this defense or offense, like, don't start talking about predictability just because it's not working for you right now, when predictability has always worked for you. Like, it's not rocket science that when you're looking at 95 in the middle of the defense or on the outside edge, he's doing certain things. So I just don't like when players start coming out because it's not working for them at this time, that now all of a sudden there needs to be some tightening of the screws defensively and we need to disguise better. We didn't need to do that last year when we were winning 12 games.
I think that maybe some of that, though, is, Danan, and like, I don't disagree with the general consensus with that, but there is this, like, Travis Kelce's at a new heights. He thinks that this team would beat last year's team. And like, on paper, right, there's lots of things they do better. They're better in points per game, points allowed per game, points per play, all the other stuff. There's lots of numbers. But at some point, it's results. And so, like, I don't want them to just keep doing the same thing just because it's working better than last year. Because in the biggest area, the, like, win-loss, it's not working as well. Specifically, late in games, I guess, is maybe where I'm maybe being a little bit more finicky, or coming out of half, where I don't feel like they've been nearly as good. I think that's where I want to see some variance.
Oh, absolutely. I think multiple things can be true at the same time. I do agree with you on that last point, and Mitch Holthus did a great job of highlighting it, I believe, during the pregame or right before kickoff in this last game, specifically regarding the wraparound, the double dipping. I even interviewed Andy Reid, and I'll share that interview on Players Only tonight, about that dynamic and how in the five losses, and don't quote me on this, but I'm almost sure it's true, in the five losses, at least four of those losses, we won the coin toss, and we had the ball inside 2 minutes before half, and we came out to get the ball at the after halftime to open the third quarter. And in either or both of those scenarios, we either were three and out or we threw an interception. And then in the games that we won, I believe we were up to 9 touchdowns, no three and outs. So, like, yes, the game comes down to specific plays and circumstances, and we all dial into, okay, well, what did the offense do with 2 minutes left in the game? And what did the defense do when Trevor Lawrence had to drive the field for a touchdown? Yes, that is all true as well. But if you look at two opportunities, consecutive opportunities to put points on the board, and you come away with zero, and it just so happens that you've lost all of those games, that's telling as well. So it's not always about, from the opening kickoff, start fast, finish strong, like we always talk about. It could be about those specific opportunities that have gone by the wayside and you're not capitalizing on it. And they have to figure that part out before you start to figure out the other stuff.
We're talking to Danan Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. I look, Patrick Mahomes certainly has not been as sharp in those big moments. There's no, I think, disputing that, but it's never as simple as just one individual person. What do you think has led to, you know, the one or two plays late in games, like the throw to Breshard Smith, for example? You know, as much as I want them to run the football more, the play was designed, like, Rashard Smith was open. Mahomes just did not get the ball out quick enough to him. What, is it a trust thing? What do you think has changed in the biggest moments this year, perhaps, for Mahomes than a year ago or 2 years ago?
I think it kind of goes back to a statement you've heard me say. My father told me when I was growing up, some things that make you laugh will make you cry. A lot of things, as far as the improv and magic fashion of Patrick Mahomes, they make us cheer. Heck, you hear me on the broadcast giggling in the background when Mitch is making
right,
calls
right.
on some magical plays, because they make you laugh. They're entertaining. But then there's also the opposite side of that. And when you're working off of improv more than timing and scheduling, sometimes you miss a guy. You miss that easy throw that we think is easy. You miss that time throw down the sideline, the deep passes that are missing. That also is a component of how the defense presents itself. If they're recognizing that, and this is not a specific stat, but let's say they're recognizing that Patrick Mahomes only works on schedule on time 12% of the time, where he gets the snap, drops back, plants his right foot, delivers the football, all in one fluid motion. That's on schedule. Let's say he only does that 12% of the time. As a defense, I just need to be on point for 88% of the time. The 88% where he is not working on schedule, and he's improvising. And I think that is correlated to some of the missed throws down the sideline, because you're not used to throwing on time, and you're not planting that back foot and delivering more times than not. And you see other quarterbacks that are definitely less skilled, definitely worse quarterbacks. I think everybody would say, heck, you guys are talking about the MVP race.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of those quarterbacks anybody would say is better than Patrick Mahomes. But for some reason, on certain throws, especially the timed ones, they're more accurate. I don't know how you can cure that in week 12, but I think that could be a story that, depending on how we rebound and if we make this a magical season, or if it becomes one that we want to sweep under the rug and forget about, I think it's going to tie directly into some of those.
Do you think, oddly enough, the fact that they have so many weapons that fortunately are healthy this year, like it was the dream scenario everybody was hoping for, right? Worthy and Rice and Brown and Kelsey, everybody all together. Do you think that has made calling games for Nagy and Andy tougher? I was talking about this with Nate Taylor the other day, that you got so many toys basically to play with that in a weird way, are you overcomplicating it? Are you trying to get everybody involved? Are you trying to get too cute?
I think there could be. I mean, everybody's human, and you want to make everybody happy. I think the bigger picture is guys becoming acclimated or more acclimated to their roles with all of these weapons at our disposal. And what I mean by that is, think about Xavier Worthy. Since he's come into the league, up until, what, three games ago, he was the number one guy. While he was healthy, he was the number one guy. And as a rookie, and then in your second year, and now all of a sudden, Rashee Rice comes back and maybe you're not the number one guy. So how do I exist as being that number two target? We see that all across the landscape of the NFL. Heck, right now, you can make an argument that there's only two receivers. T. Higgins is the number one that jumps out to me that has made a career at being okay with being the number two receiver and always being ready as the number two guy. Most other players, you see them pouting on the sideline if they're number two, because they've been number one before. So to ask a young guy like Xavier, that has been the main component of the offense for most of his career up until this point, to now not necessarily be in that zone, that's a tall task. And then Travis Kelce also being existing in that. You know, he hasn't been a part of this kind of arsenal since the Legion of Zoom. And he was still the main guy, one of the main guys besides he and Tyreek Hill. So I think there's an adjustment. It's not just about Matt Nagy and Andy Reid. I think it's about the guys recognizing, hey, I might not be the primary like I'm used to being, but I still got to be primary in my mind and how I run my routes and how I create separation. And I might not get the ball when I run my best route. Like, that happens as a wide receiver. I run the best route possible. I got the guy stumbling. It's like on the NBA court where you cross a guy over and he stumbles and you miss the jump shot. Like, it just might not go in for you at that time, but you got to be able to jump back at the line of scrimmage and say, I'm going to run the best route again next time because it might come to me. And 10 times it might not ever come to me, but the 11th time I still have to be ready. And I feel like that's a component, if you look at the film, where some guys, they don't seem like they are as comfortable in recognizing this circumstance and this situation. I got to be viable as I would be if I was the total number one from the huddle.
Do you think the Chiefs defense is up for the task? They have the number one offense in the NFL coming to town on Sunday. We had said we'd sell out and say, go ahead, Daniel Jones, you beat us. Cool. Life is life, but sure as hell can't be Jonathan Taylor. You let dominate you.
Yeah. Who would have thought when the season, when the schedule came out, and thinking about our bye, when it came in, and who we were playing after the bye, and then not knowing what the circumstances would be for Shane Steichen and the Indianapolis Colts, that we would be in this position, and talking about our defense in regards to having their hands full in basically a must-win game. I mean, this is really like the Twilight Zone, I guess you can say. Having said that, I feel like our defense, like, I'd like to see more stout play in the middle of the defense specifically. I think our defensive line has to step up. And I just want to see the big plays from Chris Jones. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I want to see him. Last game, he had two tackles. Last game before that, I believe he had two tackles. Like, I just want to see more. Like, and that's not throwing shade to him. That's just saying, you know what? On every team, there is a premium, you know, Mercedes-Benz, Bentley defensive lineman that makes plays. And he's our guy. He's the minister of the defense. Sack Nation, all of that stuff that we hear about on the commercials. This game, this circumstance, this time, being 5-5, like, that cream needs to rise to the top. So, and, like, there's no more debilitating way to approach a football game, or no way that you can slap a guy in the face more than to be able to run the ball down their throats. And as a defense, you got to be able to combat that out of pride circumstances, not just winning and losing, but just general pride. And I think if you are the leader of this defense, I know Nick Bolton is going to show up in the run game. I know Drew Tranquil is going to show up in the run game. Guess what? If those guys show up a lot, that means Taylor is getting 3 and 4 yards because they're the linebackers. Who's going to be at the front line of defense? You mentioned Mike Pinnell. I want to see those guys. That's why you went and got him back. Derek Nnadi. These guys are unsung heroes, but I want to see them step up in this game. Show me, show the Chiefs fans that you recognize your backs are against the wall by your effort and your energy and stopping a potent run game.
Danan, tonight, 6 o'clock, Players Only is back, right?
Yes, it is. You got me fired up, man. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I thought we were just going to be talking basic stuff here. Now I got to carry this energy to Players Only tonight.
I love it, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game, and have a great show tonight.
Appreciate you, fellas.
There you go. That's Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He does have Players Only tonight, 6 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. And then on Sunday, noon kickoff, Mitch Holthus, Danan Hughes, Josh Klingler right here on your home for the Chiefs. And so that was Danan Hughes earlier today. He joins us on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. And yeah, Players Only tonight at 6. Good player perspective. Interesting stuff from him there. Just talking about some of the comments from Chris Jones a little bit. And then at the end, you know, looking ahead to what Jonathan Taylor presents for Kansas City. And as he said, it's like, hey, the linebackers, you might feel confident in Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton coming up and run stuffing.
But Mike Pinnell,
but who on the interior of the defensive line in particular is going to make a play?
The Colts offensive line is one of the better ones in the league. So they're going to have to, like, do work to get pressure on Daniel Jones and do work to stop Jonathan Taylor. And hell, it was probably more damning, like what Spag said today. Spag said that the play call that they ran on 3rd and 15, the one where Chris Jones claims that they knew what they were going to do, they had not run that play call at all, 0 times during that entire game. Not done the season, but it's not a common play call for them. He said, we expected, so Spags, not intentionally, but kind of, we expected to get more pressure on that play to disrupt it. And we didn't because of that. And like, that's, I think that some of what Chris Jones is saying and what Danen is saying there is just, this team hasn't had to be frustrated in a long time. And I kind of thought when they got back on their winning ways, we wouldn't step back into this. Step back into the pointing and the finger and the blaming. When they were 5-3, I thought, okay, this team is stabilized. This is a playoff team. They got a chance to win the division. All is right in the world. And they fell back in with a poor performance against the Denver Broncos, a game I think they really expected to go in and win.
I wonder if on Sunday we see way more emotion on the sideline again. As you were talking about, when things weren't going great or in the first few weeks, that was a story. I wonder if we see, like, don't be surprised. That doesn't even mean the team's losing necessarily, just because there'll be way more energy. I wonder if you see, you know, Travis Kelce a little more vocal and back to what we saw earlier in the year. I'm not saying he's going to run into Andy Reid, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if you see a little bit more of the fire on the sideline. I think they need it, man. It is big time. Season on the line Sunday. Tomorrow we'll talk all about it some more. Red Friday on the show. Josh Briscoe is going to join us. We'll also go out to Indianapolis and talk with someone that covers the Colts, talks about them on a daily basis. What are they making the Chiefs? Like, it's got to be a weird spot, I think, for a Colts fan entering this one as well. Hope you guys have a good rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 10 to 2 here on Cody and Gold.
This is Cody and Gold. Tune in for Nate Taylor every Tuesday at 1 o'clock right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Cody and Gold are brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Well, the last couple months, you guys know I've been driving a Ford F-150, and right now the Ford Expedition, thanks to Shawnee Mission Ford. If you're looking for a new ride, Shawnee Mission Ford is the place to be, and right now is a great time because the year-end sales event starts now at Shawnee Mission Ford. So you can take advantage of 0% on those new 25 Escapes, Explorers, F-150s, Transit vans, Super Duty trucks, regular and super, with 90 days till your first payment and 90 days of complimentary Blue Cruise. You guys know how much I love the Blue Cruise feature, that hands-free driving. And Shawnee Mission Ford still offers those large discounts and the top trade-in value along with 0%. And coming up in a few weeks, it's going to be Black Friday through Cyber Monday. They've got their Shawnee Mission Ford Blue event where $500 additional to the customer with any vehicle purchase, you can decide how to use it. Larger discounts, gift card, cash back for the holidays, you name it. And the customer still gets the 0% on top of everything else. So stop in for a test drive at Shawnee Mission Ford.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.